All right, I want to start today with a couple of questions, so throw up the next slide. Okay, see, because sometimes I'll say a question and everybody sits there and looks at me like deer in the headlights. So I've made it easy. When you see that slide today, I'm looking for a response. All right, we've got it now. Okay, so I'm going to ask two questions, and I am looking for a yes, and that can be raise your hands, okay? So really, we got this straight now? Good, good. All right. So here's question one. I'm looking for a response. All right. Do you believe that Jesus can bring hope, life, and transformation?
Yes.
Yes. All right. Most of you. Most of you. Some of you haven't caught on to this game yet. Okay. Here's the second one. Do you believe the people you come in contact with? Do you believe the people you come in contact with during the week could be positively impacted by an encounter with Jesus? Okay, again, not quite as many of you. All right. Well, I'm glad most of you believe that, because if you didn't put up your hands, I was going to close and we were going to leave. But I'm glad most of you believe that, because that's what I want to talk about today. And I want to start by reminding you of our church's purpose. SBC exists to partner with God on his redemptive, restorative mission of transforming lives and changing cities. Since the whole world has fallen, the whole world needs to be redeemed. Every last person, place, and organization. Thus, as Christ followers, we are called to be on a redemptive, restorative mission with Jesus. We are called to participate in God's mission of setting all things right in this broken, fallen world. We are called by God to go out and share the good news of Jesus and his kingdom in both word and action. We are called by God to bring up there, down here. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. God, bring up there, down here. How's he going to do that? He's going to do it through his followers. So how do we live that way? How are we to be people who go on a restorative, redemptive mission? How are we to do that? Well, you already know what I'm going to say, Micah 6:8. He has shown you, O man, O woman, O child, what is good. This is what is good. And what does God desire of you? Right? Three things. To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. Here at SBC, we want to see every person living 6-8. Every person living 6-8. We want to see every person in our church walking humbly with Jesus every day their feet are on this planet. Each of us daily surrendering to King Jesus from a posture of humility. I like the way Romans 12:1 in the Message paraphrase, it says this: take your everyday ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Can you imagine what would happen if each one of us actually did that verse? Did each one of us placed our lives as an offering before God? Surrender daily to walk humbly. Imagine what could happen. We want to see every person loving mercy, compassionately loving the person in front of them wherever we are. We want to see every person acting justly for the poor and the oppressed. Proverbs 29:7 says, the righteous care about justice for the poor, but the wicked have no such concern. The righteous, that's us. We're the righteous here. The righteous, that's us. We're to care. We're to have an intense passion about justice for the poor and the oppressed. As Christ followers, we're to follow God's heart and have an intense passion for those that are less fortunate, for those that are oppressed. And as all of us live 6-8, we're desiring to see lives transformed and people healed and communities changed by the love and the power and the grace of King Jesus. We say we want to see 100 baptisms, 1,000 lives transformed, and 10,000 lives impacted. And to see that happen this next ministry year, which starts in September, but I'm going to challenge you to start doing some things today. We're going to have two focuses. Every ministry year, we do what we do. You know, we do serve the city. We do all the things that we do. We do youth ministry, young adults. We do all those. But we have a couple of things, sometimes one, sometimes two, that we really zone in on. We really focus. This next ministry year, we're going to have two key focuses. One is collective, involving all of us, and one is individual. Let me share the collective one with you first. During this next ministry year, we are going to launch the Victoria Dream Center. A dream center that will walk alongside First Nations people, especially single parents. Now, how did we get here? How did we get to this place in our journey? We talked originally about starting a dream center. Involve some of the ministries we were doing, but we found out quickly that a number of those ministries are already solidly identified with Saanich Baptist Church. We talked about walking alongside the working poor single parent. And as we talked about that, and I mentioned that, something organic happened within our church community. People started to come to me and to others, particularly to me, and saying, we love the idea of walking alongside the working poor single parent, but why aren't we addressing our indigenous people? We're doing that so well in Mexico. Why aren't we engaging our indigenous people here in Victoria? There are a number of reserves. Why aren't we engaging indigenous people? I heard that over and over and over, and as we started to pray and ponder that, it shifted our focus from just generally working poor single parents to saying, we're going to engage indigenous single parents. That's exactly what happened with the Mission San Quintin Dream Center. The Mission San Quintin Dream Center started organically within our church. It wasn't a leadership-infused thing. It started from within the church. Church leadership grabbed onto it and ran with it. And similarly with this, as we started talking about the Dream Center and started hearing from within the congregation, we need to have an indigenous focus to this. It moved us to the place where we're saying we want to have the Victoria Dream Center work with First Nations people, especially single parents. And so we're in the process of laying the foundation for a dream center that will walk alongside and share the love and the grace and the hope of Jesus with First Nations people. And over the past few months, a few of us have been on, I would say, a very steep learning journey. We've been learning about indigenous culture and practices. We've been learning about the history of church-indigenous relations. We've been learning about the tension between Christian practices and indigenous spirituality. We've been learning about indigenous people and their needs. And we've been learning about the pain, both past and present, of residential schools. And one of the shocking realizations was that our fellowship, which is our denomination, we're Fellowship Baptist, our Fellowship Baptist denomination had a residential school in Whitehorse. We were surprised to hear that. And thus, the need to address the issue of healing is not just a Catholic, Anglican, United, Presbyterian, Mennonite church issue. It's also a Fellowship Baptist issue. So why shouldn't SBC lead the way in bringing healing to our local First Nations communities? And what has been encouraging to us as we've talked with other church leaders, other ministry leaders, some national leaders in the Christian indigenous ministry world, if you will, we have received overwhelming affirmation regarding SBC starting a dream center that will work and walk alongside First Nation people. In fact, it is amazing these national leaders we've talked to are very supportive of working with us and mentoring us and helping us. They're excited about a church engaging at this level. And so where do we see the Victoria Dream Center in a year from now? First of all, we would like to see SBC, all of us, in this next year, learning about Indigenous issues and catching a heart and a passion for Indigenous ministry. We would like to see the Victoria Dream Center officially set up and actively building trust with elders on at least one reserve on the Saanich Peninsula. CPC is strategically located for this ministry. It is right out there on the peninsula, our other campus, strategically located for this ministry. We would also like to see Saanich Baptist, through the Victoria Dream Center, taking steps towards a posture of reconciliation. And we would like to be starting to walk alongside within this next year some First Nations families. So what are the next steps? There are many. Let me just highlight two or three for you. One key next step is to build relationships with First Nations leaders, elders, and influencers, and we are currently doing that. We are working on that. Also, I'll just mention that Steve Karadimas, our wonderful youth ministry director over here, has started to go out to the tribal school once a week just to serve, just to build relationships. And children from the tribal school are being invited to our summer sports camp this year. You can pray about that. Another step is, as we seek to understand how the Victoria Dream Center can walk alongside Indigenous people, we need to do so, church, from a posture of humbleness. We must come at this with a humble attitude. We don't go to First Nations people as a savior, right? We go with a savior. It's a much different posture. And it's important for us to allow Indigenous people to teach us about their ways, their practices, their issues. And so this fall, we're planning an evening with a Christian Indigenous leader for anyone in our church who is interested in this issue. We're also going to be starting a learning community in September. Again, for anyone that's interested in this issue, we will learn together. Another step for us to address is preconceived ideas and possible racial prejudices that we may have towards First Nation people. And we're going to do that through a sermon series in January of 2020. And we're going to address these issues sensitively. So this next ministry year, our collective focus is on moving this Victoria Dream Center significantly ahead as we seek to walk alongside First Nation people. And in all of this, prayer is foundational. Notice what's up there, hands, right? Right, you're ready? You're ready? Right? Okay, just working with me. So here's my question for you. Hands up if you'll do this. Will you commit to praying for our Victoria Dream Center initiative as we move ahead together? Will you commit to doing that? Thank you. Thank you. It's all God. Prayer is foundational. We don't move ahead without prayer on this. So I'm serious. If you put up your hand, please commit. Write it down. Pray as we move ahead together. That's our first initiative. Our first initiative is collective. Our second focus this next ministry year is individual. I want to go back to a passage in the Bible that we've talked about lots lately. We keep going to this passage. Maybe that's a God thing, right? But we keep going back here. But let me take you back to Matthew 9, verse 35. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Do we believe that? Do we believe that there are people who are ready to see and hear the good news about Jesus? Do you notice what Jesus tells us here? He says the problem is not with the harvest. The problem is not even with the number of workers. The problem is the workers are not in the harvest field. They're not out harvesting. In other words, the problem isn't that people are unready to receive the good news of the kingdom. The problem is people aren't telling them. So let me remind all of us this morning of our commission from Jesus. Matthew 28, verse 18, it says this: Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. The word go there literally means in your going, as you go, wherever you go, make disciples. In other words, Jesus was saying to those early Christ followers, and Jesus is saying to us, as you go about your daily life, introduce the people in your life to Jesus and then help them follow me. That's what he's saying. And that's exactly what the early church went out and did. The ordinary Christ followers back then, they went out and they spread the good news about Jesus to their families and their friends, and their families and their friends started following Jesus. And then what they would do is these early Christ followers taught them about Jesus and taught them how to follow Jesus. And by doing that, those early Christ followers were not only used by God to change lives, they ultimately changed the world. And I would say, if then, why not now? Why can't everyday Christ followers go out and share the good news of Jesus with their friends now? The harvest is plentiful. The workers are few. It's just we're not going out. God still wants to use and empower ordinary people to impact their world with the love and the grace and the power so we can go out and share the good news. All of us here have a realm of influence. Do you know that? All of us here have a realm of influence. You have people in your life you influence, like your family. You influence your family. You influence your friends. You influence the people you hang out with. Your neighborhood is influenced by you. Your coworkers, your schoolmates, they're all influenced by you. You have a realm of influence. And I think, I may be wrong, but for most of us, within our realm of influence, you likely know 10 people on a first-name basis who don't know Jesus. Safe assumption, right? In your realm of influence, you think of all your realms of influence in your life, you probably know 10 people in that realm of influence that don't know Jesus, right? And you may not be, they may not be your friends, they may be your friends, but you know them on a first-name basis. You know, your hairstylist, the one that cuts your hair, your neighbors, the people at school, your coworkers, the people on your sports teams, the parents of the children that are on your children's sports teams, the people, your friends, your family members who don't know Jesus, right? We all have people in our realm of influence that don't know Jesus, and I'm sure we know 10 of them by name. All right, so here's my question. See the timing on that? Not bad, eh? Here's the question. How many of you know someone in your realm of influence who needs to follow Jesus? How many of you know someone in your realm of influence who needs to follow Jesus? Okay, most of us. You ready for our focus? This is an exciting focus. The Victoria Dream Center is an exciting collective focus. This is an exciting individual focus. Almost all of us in the room know someone in our realm of influence who needs to follow Jesus. Here is our focus for this next ministry year, our individual focus, that we will see at least one person in each of our realms of influence begin to follow Jesus between now and August 2020. What do you think? Can God do? No. I like the honesty. There you go. I love the honesty. All right? Think of your realm of influence. Think of 10 people who don't know Jesus in that realm of influence. And what we're praying for is that one of them, at least, would come to know Jesus over the next 12 months or so. You see, I believe God can do that. Do you? I believe God can do that. And we're going to have an intentional focus around doing that and equipping each other and praying for each other so God can move. And so as we start this journey of saying we want at least one person in each of our realms of influence to find Jesus, start to follow Jesus over the next 14 months, I want to challenge you to do two simple things this summer. Two simple things. Okay, as we start this journey, two simple things. Here's number one, pray. Pray. Again, just like with the Victoria Dream Center Initiative, if we're not praying, it's not going to happen. We got to bathe all this stuff in prayer. So pray. In the book of Acts, when Peter and John got in trouble with the Jewish leadership, they were arrested and they were told not to teach about Jesus anymore. And then they were released. And when they were released, they went out and found the other believers and told them what had happened. And once these other believers heard what had happened, they lifted their voices together in prayer. It's an amazing prayer, but I'm just going to read the ending of it. Acts 4, verse 29, it says this, "And now, our Lord, hear their threats and give us, your servants, great boldness." Didn't ask for protection. They ask for boldness. "Great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." Notice what they prayed for? They prayed for boldness in speaking about Jesus. Do we? They prayed for his healing power to work through them. They prayed that they would perform signs and wonders through the power and authority of his name. And God, if you read it, you'll see God answered their prayers with a fresh infilling of the Spirit, which enabled those Christ followers to go out and preach and minister with boldness. Prayer unleashes the power of God. Amen? There has never been a great move of God without Christ followers lifting their voices together in prayer. But when God's people pray, great things can happen. I believe it's totally possible that all of us can see a person in our realm of influence come to follow Jesus in this next 14 months. I believe in a God big enough to do that. In fact, God thinks you won't, probably thinks to us, you only want one? I believe God is a God who can do great things. And as we join together in prayer, we partner with him and amazing things can happen. So let's pray, church. And I want to give you three things to pray for. Not only am I calling you to pray, but I'm going to give you three specific things to pray for. And I've mentioned two of them before. Here's the first one. Let's pray for God to let us see. Back to Matthew 9, verse 36. "When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd." When he saw the crowds, Jesus saw something in people the disciples didn't see. He saw their anxiety. He saw their helplessness. He saw their suffering. He saw their hopelessness. While others just saw farmers and fishermen and villagers, people, Jesus saw people who were troubled and confused and aimless and lost and weary and full of stress. In our realms of influence, our realms of influence are filled with people who look good on the outside. Think of the people in your realm of influence. So many of them look good on the outside. But inside, they're troubled, and they're confused, and they're aimless, and they're stressed, and they're weary, and they're fearful, and they're anxious. Will you commit with me, starting today, to pray, asking Jesus to open your eyes so you can see the people in your realm of influence like he does? Will you pray with me starting today that God will open your eyes so you can see the people in your realm of influence like he sees them? That's the first thing I want us to pray for. Here's the second. Let's pray that we will have a God-given passion for the people in our realms of influence. Back again to verse 36. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. The word compassion here means to feel in your bowels. Back then, people understood the bowels were the seat of the affections. And so the word compassion here literally means to have a gut-wrenching feeling. In other words, as Jesus looked at people, he saw their true condition and was gripped with bowel-wrenching empathy. And that moved him to action. We need to be moved to action. It is so easy for us to see the people in our realm of influence. And we see them over and over, and we just don't feel the compassion for them that God has. And so here's the second thing I want us to pray for. Will you pray along with me, church, starting today, that God would give you and give me compassion, his compassion, for the people in our realms of influence? Because not only do we need to see them, we need to experience that gut-wrenching compassion that Jesus has for them, and that will move us to action. Here's the third thing I want you to pray for, and you got another one of these sleeves this week, and I want you to grab it. You got a sleeve. Look, encourage me. Look like you're grabbing something. Even if you're not grabbing it, grab something so I'm encouraged. Okay. And here's what I want you to do. Third thing. So first thing, pray that you will see the people in your realm of influence. Second, pray you will have compassion for the people in your realm of influence. It all starts there. Third, I want you to take with me the 5-5-5 prayer challenge. Pray for 5 people in your life who don't know Jesus 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week. And you may say, well, that's not a lot. I'm starting slow, okay? So here's what I want you to do. On the back of it, I want you today to fill out the names of 5 people in your realm of influence who don't know Jesus. 5 people in your realm of influence that don't know Jesus. I want you to fill out those names. And I want you to post that somewhere on the mirror where you shave in the morning, in your Bible, if you open your Bible during the week. Whatever, that was a little dig. Did you catch that? Did you catch that? Okay, good. I want you to put this somewhere where you'll see it, where you can pray for them. 5 days a week, a minute a person, and let's see what God's going to do. All right? So will you commit with me to doing this? Okay, pray for 3. I'm asking you to do 2 things. Number 1, pray. Pray that you'll see the people in your realm of influence. Pray that you'll have compassion on the people in your realm of influence. Pray the 5-5-5 challenge. Okay, here's the second thing I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you to step out. Here's what's going to happen. As you pray to see, God is faithful. He's going to open your eyes. As you pray for compassion, God's going to give you a gut-wrenching feeling. As you start to pray for these 5 people, you're going to notice you start to interact with them differently. And then the Spirit of God is going to nudge you to do things. And so here's the second thing I want you to do. I want you to obey the Spirit of God's nudging in your life. That's it. That's all I want you to do. 2 things. Pray. Obey the Spirit's nudging as you, because God's faithful. He's going to answer our prayers. As he answers our prayers, let's obey the nudging. Okay? That's what I want you to do this summer. Okay, we can do that, right? 4 of us are going to do it. Awesome. Okay, well, the 4 of us are going to have great stories because we're early adopters and the rest of you will come along after. All right, I get it. I didn't put the hands up, I know. Should have had the hands up there and then I would have got, you know, okay, anyway. There, yeah. Woo, we're going, okay. Thank you, PowerPoint person. All right. I want to close with this, then we're going to take communion. And then I'm going to drive out to CPC, and hopefully the Iron Man thing isn't too bad at Elk Lake, or they may not hear me. All right, here's what I want you to think about. I want you to dream with me, church. I want you to dream with me of a dream center that's engaging First Nations people. Dream with me in a few years that First Nations people on the peninsula are talking much different about the Christian church than they were a few years before, because a group of Christian people have come out and shown them the love of Jesus as they've walked alongside them through the Victoria Dream Center. Dream with me, church. Dream with me of those people in your realm of influence that need to follow Jesus, suddenly following Jesus. Imagine that spouse, that child, that parent, that friend, you've been praying for years. Suddenly this next year, because of a great move of God, they start to follow Jesus. Dream with me, church, of what is possible. The early church powerfully proclaimed the good news of Jesus in such a way that 3,000 people decided to follow Jesus in one day. If then, why not now? If God could do that back then, He can certainly lead a person in your realm of influence to follow Him in this next year. Amen? Amen. If then, why not now? Dream with me, church. Pray with me, church. The early church was a church that prayed expectantly and boldly with unbelievable results. If then, why not now? Pray with me, church. Pray for the Victoria Dream Center. Pray for your friends who don't know Jesus. Pray for those 5 people. Pour out your hearts for them. Pray that God will give you eyes to see. Pray that God will give you His compassion. Pray that you will have the boldness that the early church had to step out in faith step out in faith as the Spirit nudges you. Dream with me, church. Pray with me, church. Journey with me, church. Journey with me. This next year is going to be transformative. God is going to do things we don't even imagine. And the journey starts right here, right now, at this table. As we come to this table, we're reminded of the past, the present, and the future. This table speaks of the past. It speaks of a broken body. It speaks of shed blood. It speaks of forgiveness and restoration on a cross. It also speaks of a future. This table doesn't just speak of the past. It speaks of the future, that one day the King of Kings is coming back and there's going to be total restoration. We won't be living in an in-between time anymore. We'll be living in V-Day. New heaven, new earth, that's hope. And this table speaks of the present. It speaks of transformation in the present. It speaks of restoration in the present. It speaks of mission, because as we experience transformation, as we experience restoration, then we need to go out on mission with God and share that transformation and that restoration with others. This table speaks of the past. It speaks of the present. It speaks of the future. And all of that should call us to stand amazed in the presence of the one whose this table represents. And so we're going to stand in just a second, and we're going to sing. And then as you take communion after you sing, as Lindsay leads you, I've asked the worship team that we would just play instrumentals quietly today, because I want the Spirit of God to speak to you. I want you to listen to what the Spirit has to say to you. I want you to hear what the Spirit has to say to you about your life, about those people in your realm of influence, about who you should be praying for, about what following Jesus means. So slow in this moment and listen to Jesus. Let's stand and let's sing, "I Stand Amazed."